and the Lord's Spirit be upon my lips. Amen. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This was on the day of the resurrection, Sunday evening. Jesus will be with the disciples and many others for at least the next 5 or 6 weeks. And it's still nearly 50 days until Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in power to them after they had been praying and the church was born. But here is a little hint of what was to come, a foreshadowing, as Jesus imparted the Holy Spirit to his disciples and later to all Christians to spread the gospel and act in and through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the words here are meant to echo creation. In Genesis 2:7 it says, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." In Greek, the same word, pneuma, is used for breath and wind and spirit. What the Greek in John actually says is, "He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Breath." They became new creatures in Jesus Christ and moved from frightened, impotent men and women to become fearless proclaimers of the good news, who would die for their faith, secure in the knowledge that to die is to be with Christ. Yesterday, several members of this congregation were received or confirmed into the church at Grace Cathedral. There, the bishop laid hands on them and said, "Strengthen, O Lord, your servant with the Holy Spirit. Empower him or empower her for your service." Each of us, as we come into communion with the body of Christ, receive the same blessing of the Holy Spirit and the same empowerment from the Holy Spirit. Now, as we move into the period just before Pentecost, it might be worthwhile to reflect a moment on the Holy Spirit's gifts for each of us in our lives and to look at how they are given to us to help spread the good news. There are evidences of the Holy Spirit's gifts throughout both the Old and the New Testament. Paul actually lists them in three places, in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. Altogether, he lists 25 gifts of the Holy Spirit, although without overlaps, it comes down to about 18. Now, I say about 18 because many of these gifts actually imply the presence of other gifts, and Paul's lists are not intended to be exhaustive. They merely highlight some of the gifts of the Spirit. Those that he cites include prophecy, ministering help, teaching, exhorting, giving, government or ruling, showing mercy, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, tongues, the interpretation of tongues, apostleship, pastoring, and evangelism. A rather long list of gifts of the Spirit. Now, in our day and age, most of us are comfortable, I think, with some, but not all, of these gifts. We know, of course, that Paul was explicit in saying that no one has all of these gifts, that they are distributed throughout the body of Christ, with some to each of us, and that we are not to regard any individual having any of these gifts as superior to any other member of the body of Christ. However, I would like to suggest that the relative comfort level that we have with these gifts may encourage us not to discover if we have some of the others. As a church, we Episcopalians have been at the forefront in ministering help. This is one of the gifts. Going into the rougher parts of the world and into our own cities and helping those who need food, clothing, medicine, shelter, or simply hospitality, as we have it in the church, those who greet you at the door, the ushers who hand out the bulletins, the people who cook or prepare for the refreshments after the service. That hospitality is also considered a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it comes under the heading of ministering help. We're also pretty good at the gift of government. An inordinate percentage of elected officials are Episcopalians, something like 70 in Congress, whereas by numbers we would only be about 7 if we were representative of the way Episcopalians are distributed in the population. So we're there in about 10 times the number that our denomination has. And we raise up some remarkable philanthropists, both in giving wealth and in giving of time and wealth and concern. And many Episcopalians are involved in Amnesty International or in opposing the death penalty. They have the gift of mercy, one of the gifts that Paul cites. Then we raise up some darn good pastors. And I'd like a nickel for every faithful member who has stuck with the church through good times and bad, even when it didn't seem like it was worth it. That is the gift of faith. So we have many of the gifts of the Spirit alive and active in us as a church. That leaves prophecy, exhorting, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, healing, miracles, discernment, tongues, the interpretation of tongues, apostleship, and evangelism. Now, we've seen elements of some of these, probably, but they are not common to our denomination. They are not what we are known for. And although there may be individuals who have some of these gifts, this is not something that we regularly see. These are not gifts that we regularly see. Now, I know the experience of doing evangelism, the shoe leather evangelism, when we went out into the neighborhoods and distributed flyers, was a new one for many of the people who experienced it. They'd never thought about doing evangelism before and never thought of themselves as doing evangelism. And some people came back from that experience quite thrilled, really having enjoyed the opportunity to spread the gospel through evangelism. And they likely have a gift for it, and I would encourage them to pursue that gift and see how it grows or expands in them. Now, I don't want to be exhaustive today in trying to list the things that we don't do or the things that we don't do well, but I'd like to talk about a couple of them. Tongues is another gift which is not much in evidence in our denomination. There are a few charismatic Episcopal churches scattered here and there, and praying or speaking in tongues is frequently in evidence in these churches, along with other gifts of the Spirit. This is a particularly troubling gift, because some see it as the only true evidence of having been saved. And if you don't have the gift of tongues, there is no evidence that you've been saved, and therefore you have not. And so in some churches, this becomes a divisive gift. Some who are in and some who are out. This approach to tongues, by the way, is completely unscriptural, and it's a crime, I think, when it's perpetrated. It's also an abuse of a gift which I personally believe can be quite genuine. But like Paul, I don't believe that this is a gift which everyone must have. Nor do I believe that it is a gift which ended in 100 A.D., any more than mercy ended then, or giving, or faith. I believe all of the gifts of the Spirit continue to this day. Healing is another remarkable gift of the Spirit. This is not a power that you gain like some super being or yogi. It's an openness to the move of the Spirit. It's a willingness to ask for healing and to trust God to act. Now, Patricia has a weekly healing service here every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Attendance is still relatively light. If you haven't come, you should. And for two reasons. One is to experience the laying on of hands, to pray for you or for someone that you know needs healing. It's quite a remarkable experience in itself. And if you haven't availed yourself of it, you must. It's like saying you must have blood. It's one of those things that you really must. It's a central part of the experience of being a Christian. And the second reason why you ought to come and experience this healing service is that it may resonate with something in your own soul. This may be a gift that you have, which you have not discovered, which has not been opened to you yet, but into which you could move. The final gift of the Spirit, which I'll mention today, is word of wisdom. And this is one which it's unlikely that anyone who has been an Episcopalian all of their lives has even heard of. But it's part of a couple of gifts of the Spirit mentioned by Paul. And the gift is the ability to see and express and give guidance to a person who has an unexpressed need. In other words, to look at a person who has not said a word about a need which they have in their lives, has given no evidence that that need exists, and yet through the power of the Holy Spirit, when you look at that person, you see and understand the need, you speak it to them, and you give guidance for them on how to meet that need. This is the gift of wisdom. Now, I suspect some of you have or could discover this gift. I came across this gift without any desire on my part. And this is not a gift which I'm claiming, by the way. But almost 5 years ago, my wife Vicki and I attended a conference on the Holy Spirit and world evangelization in Indianapolis, Indiana. I know a couple of you have heard a couple of small parts of this experience for us, but I'd like to repeat it here for everyone. It bears on today's gospel. This was a gathering of 25,000 charismatics from all denominations, from all over the country, all together in one place in Indianapolis for a week of prayer, teaching, and worship. Although I had had some charismatic experiences, and although I had attended some charismatic churches or church services, I was completely unprepared for what I found in Indianapolis, including a couple of thousand charismatic Episcopalians, by the way, organized there by Episcopal Renewal Ministries. What most impressed me, and perhaps both of us, was the utter absence of denominational prejudice. This was a big surprise, and it was really remarkable. You were taken as an equal who loved the Lord, regardless of your denomination. And there were Baptists and Methodists and Roman Catholics and Assemblies of God and Episcopalians, Church of Christ. Every denomination you can think of was represented there. And when someone asked you, what denomination are you? If you said Episcopalian or Methodist or whatever, the immediate response was a heartfelt, praise God. Because if you were at home in that denomination and loved the Lord, then you were home. And you didn't need to be convinced that you were in a damned denomination or in the wrong denomination or the one without all of the truth. You were honored for the denomination you came from. Vicki and I even had lunch with a couple of Southern Baptist women who were charismatics. If you know anything about Southern Baptists, you know this is a miracle in itself. We also watched from the stage as an Assemblies of God pastor introduced a Roman Catholic priest as his brother in Christ. And if you know anything about the Assemblies of God or what they have historically said about the Catholic Church, this is another miracle. On the first night of this conference, we attended the evening worship service in the Hoosier Dome. This is where they play the basketball games. There were 25,000 of us in this giant stadium. It was a wonderful, beautiful, uplifting service. Twyla Paris, who is a very well-known Christian performer, sang a song there called Carry the Light. And hundreds of children came into a completely darkened auditorium carrying flashlights, representing carrying the light of Christ out into the world. It was a really terrific service. Later in the service, Vicki and I went down from the bleachers where we were sitting down onto the main floor of the Hoosier Dome and danced. This is during a worship service. We danced during the worship service because there was Jewish dance music played in the middle of it. And we had long lines and circles of people doing Jewish dance in the middle of the service. It was really unbelievable. I'd never done that in my life. It never even occurred to me to dance during a worship service. But it was just great. When we returned to our seats in the bleachers, the worship service continued, and then finally it was over. And they turned the lights on, and we got up to leave. And as we got up to leave, the woman who was sitting directly behind me stopped me and said, "Can I pray for you?" Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not used to people stopping me and asking if they can pray for me, particularly people I don't know. But I figured this is either something very bizarre or it was a move of God, so I figured I'd better stay put. And I said, "Okay." Now, she was up just a half step or so above me, or a full step, I guess. So she reached over from where she was, and she put her hands on my head like this. And then she said, "You are from a denomination." She spoke, by the way, she spoke a word of wisdom to me and a word of knowledge, so that I'll flesh these out a little bit because you'll see what she did and you'll know what this gift means. She laid hands on me and then she said, "You are from a denomination which does not know all of the gifts of the Spirit. And although you have experienced some of them in your own life, you have been afraid to speak of them for fear that you would be laughed at or scorned. You are called to speak of these to your church, and you are to know that you can do this without fear." She was absolutely on the money. This is a woman I have never seen in my life, and she nailed me. Boy, she had it right. She then said, "As a disciple of Jesus Christ, with the power given to me in John 20, which is the passage we read this morning, I forgive you of all of your sins. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb." And then she made the sign of the cross on my forehead, and immediately I felt all of the anger, hate, guilt, sin, and fear that I'd ever had in my life vaporize. It was like being in the middle of an atomic bomb explosion. I've never felt anything that powerful like that again or before. It was just the most remarkable experience. And I felt even that my bones had been bleached white. And that feeling remained with me for many days after that. Throughout the whole conference, I just felt completely unburdened of anything that I'd ever done or carried with me in my life. It was just gone, vanished. She was exercising the gift given to the disciples in today's gospel passage. Now, I should caution that this gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge which she exercised are not the same things as clairvoyance or channeling or any of that. In fact, they have roots in an entirely different kingdom. These are movements of the Holy Spirit. And these gifts of the Holy Spirit are real, and they persist to this day. And there are many here, I venture, for whom these gifts are given to you, if only you or I had the courage to discover it. My encouragement to each of us, then, finally, is that we not remain in the familiar and the comfortable, those gifts which we know and have seen and have heard of before, but that we look hard at all of the gifts of the Spirit which Paul mentions, all of the gifts of the Spirit which are distributed throughout the Old and New Testament, and we wonder and we ask God, which of these gifts are mine? Which of them do you wish me to explore and pursue and allow to blossom in my soul so that this gift can be one which I give to the rest of the world? Amen.